House Committee on Workforce and Economic Development. We are now in order. The first bill that we're going to have a public hearing on this morning is House Bill 3235. I'll open a public hearing on that. And Ellen, would you please summarize the bill for us?
Yes, thank you, Chair Witt, members of the committee. House Bill 3235 requires the Department of Administrative Services to study three areas regarding minority-owned and women-owned businesses that conduct business with the state. To study past and present discrimination, the availability and capacity in targeted industries, and the inequality in the award of public contracts.
Thank you very much. I'd like to call up first, please, Representative Shields.
Thank you, Chairman. Would it be all right if I brought up the
Yale Please do.
Award, Jack?
Please do.
Thank you for giving us this public hearing, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Chip Shields. I'm state representative from District 43, north of Northeast Portland. Over the course of the interim, I pulled together the various minority chambers of commerce, mostly in Portland, and a select group of other minority business owners to create a minority business agenda that we could begin to nibble away at some of the reasons why minority businesses are having challenges in the state. And so we came up with a couple of policy ideas and a couple of budget ideas around that, and this bill represents the culmination of one of those ideas. And Mr. McArdle, who runs a small company called Huseric Wire Products, will tell you more, as will Roy Jay, who's the president of the African American Chamber. But what we originally set out to do was to try to address the problem that Leo is having, competing as a small Oregon business, minority-owned business, competing against transnational corporations when it comes to going after state contracts. Now, I know the chair, who's been involved in the past in trying to do Oregon first kind of legislation that would give some type of leg up to Oregon companies in competing for Oregon contracts. He knows that in statute we have an agreement with other states whereby it's kind of a free trade agreement among states, whereby it's very difficult to give an advantage to your homegrown businesses because of reciprocal arrangements that we have with other states, because we don't want them doing the same thing for their homegrown businesses and excluding the chance for Oregon businesses to compete for, say, work in California. So what we realized we couldn't do that once we talked to legislative counsel. The other approach was that maybe we could try to do some type of set-aside for emerging small businesses, women-owned businesses, and minority businesses that mostly would be from Oregon, because the majority of people who get certified for that through the Department of Consumer and Business Services, DCBS, are Oregon businesses. So we originally, with Doug McKean in legislative counsel, drew up a bill that would require that 10% set aside for emerging small businesses, minority and women-owned businesses. And then after a little more research and the help of the governor's office, we realized we couldn't do that because of recent case law that takes aim at affirmative action programs. And so what we found is that in order to have any type of set aside for emerging small businesses, minority businesses, and women-owned businesses, you need to have a disparity study that says there's a history of discrimination here, and based on that, you can do that type of program. ODOT is in the process of doing a disparity study now, and the members of the coalition felt that it might be wise to have DAS, which is the chief procurement agency of the state, also embark in that type of program. We discussed it with DAS. They have some concerns. They'd like to see how the ODOT study works, and they're not prepared to be supportive of the bill at this time. And I've kind of accepted that since it's late in the session. And so I went to the chair and I asked for the chair, could we just have a public hearing so that we can get these issues on the table, allow Leo and some of the other people involved to at least bring their concerns to the legislature. So this bill would be the vehicle for that, and I think now I'd just like to hand it on over to Leo, and he can tell you a little bit about his experience.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our committee.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to hear me.
Yes.
My name is Leo McArdle. I'm the owner of Husrick Wire Products, a small business in Portland, Oregon. My company manufactures and distributes many numerous types of products that the state of Oregon purchases through their many agencies. As part of an ongoing effort to grow my business, I've been trying for the last 4 years to sell products to the state of Oregon, but have met with no success. This is a problem that faces many small business owners in Oregon, and it impacts our economy in this state. The reason that I've been unable to land contracts with the state of Oregon is that large corporations and multinationals have won the bids based on price alone. Their prices are better because huge companies have much greater purchasing leverage and are able to buy raw materials at much lower prices than I can. The way the current bidding process is designed excludes just about all small businesses my size from being able to effectively compete for state business. Bill H.R. 3235 is trying to rectify this. By allowing a disparity study to be done, we will uncover just how large the gap is in the state purchasing policies and hopefully allow the initiation of changes within the state purchasing system that will be more fair to small business owners such as myself. The federal government and many states have already identified these disparities and have programs designed to address them. And I think we all understand how important small businesses are to our economy. We must provide a means for them to compete effectively for state business. Bill H.R. 3235 is the first step in this process. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Welcome, sir.
Good morning. You ever had one of those days where you said you're going to leave your home and drive all the way down to Salem, and you get down there and you park your car and decide, where's my suit coat?
Did you have the parking change?
I had the parking change, but left the coat. But that's neither here nor there. I am here to also support Representative Chiel's statements and our colleague here, because this is a growing problem, a growing situation. My name is Roy Jay. I'm the president of the African American Chamber of Commerce, as well as the founder of the Alliance of Minority Chambers of Commerce. I think a disparity study is in the right step for the state, because we know that there's discriminatory practices that have went on, they continue to go on, and not just for minority businesses, but even just small emerging businesses that do not get a chance to get a piece of the great opportunities that come from this state and from other areas as well. We hear it and see it on a regular basis, not just from African Americans, but from everybody else that says that they're trying to get into the system, and somebody just seems to ignore it all the time. I mean, this has been a long-standing thing. It may not affect you guys, but as far as being politicians, but these small businesses, they've put their money down to set up a business. They want to be able to compete. And I hear his story on almost a monthly basis. They apply, they get turned down because somebody else comes in, the price is lower, and sometimes it's not about price. In Portland, the city council moved in a different direction a couple of years ago, as they awarded a huge multi-million-dollar contract to our organization to manage all the public parking garages. And if it would have just been a matter of price, then maybe somebody else would have got it. But it was a matter of trying to make sure they empower the people in the community that are paying taxes, that live here, and support families. So I urge you to please move this bill forward so we can get on with trying to make sure we keep business within this state instead of it having an exit and going someplace else. And
Thank
if you,
you.
And if you find my coat, let me know.
Thank you very much. Questions for our panel? Yes, Representative Holby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm kind of curious about the disparity study and really the is there a consistent, basis for assumptions that are in disparities studies, and is there any place we can get background on how those disparity studies work?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holby, that's a very good question. The courts have laid out what should be in a proper disparity study, and they have to be done correctly. Otherwise, you can invite additional litigation. I think that is part of DAS's concerns on wanting to go a little bit slower than this, than kind of ramming this bill through at the last moment of the session. And I think that view has some merit. I'd be happy to, I'm sure ODOT has that information, and they'll be in my committee today. I'd be happy to ask them to maybe get you a document, or I know you've got plenty of time on your hands these days, so if you'd like a half hour or 45 minute briefing, I'm sure they'd be delighted to do that.
Yeah, thank you. Maybe we can schedule that in July.
Do would any of you like to come in? Or?
No, you're doing fine, Chair.
All right, thanks.
Yes, Vice Chair Lim, please.
Thank you, Chair. And I didn't get your name. I'm sorry.
Leo McArdle. Leo.
Leo?
Yeah.
Thank you, Leo. And what product do you have in the last 4 years you tried to procure the contract, but you are not able to? What product do you produce?
Yeah, the majority of what we're trying to sell right now is fencing or other type of basket products, agricultural type stuff to the state. So there's a tremendous amount of different types of fencing that is used by the state for many of the different projects. They also use baskets. You'll see around the state capitol, they put up baskets periodically throughout the year. We've been unsuccessful in selling any of our products to the state at this point. That's the majority. We bid on just about anything that we have that the state purchases, but that's the majority of what we've gone after. And fencing, unlike the federal government, which does set aside, so a portion of everything is set aside, some of it we can't compete because it's such large orders and none of it is broken off for small businesses. And the other portions that we're able to bid, we just literally... The competitive aspect of other companies, multinationals that come in, they sell at such a low price, I can't even buy raw materials to manufacture goods at the prices that they're selling. So there's no way for me to effectively compete against them. So what I'm trying to do is bring about some changes within our purchasing policies. I'm not trying to steal the entire egg from all the corporations. I understand that there's a benefit to the state in some regards, but there's also a benefit to the state of being able to allow small businesses to provide services and products here in the state of Oregon, and people who employ people in Oregon, to allow us to expand by having a piece of that state pie. So,
and then may I ask,
please,
the multi-company you are competing with, who you don't have to identify the name of the company, but where the products coming from?
They actually come from all over. Most of the products are, almost all the companies that sell to the state of Oregon, from what I've seen, import products. So they're actually coming from overseas and being shipped into our state. So the majority of the products come from overseas, believe it or not.
Okay. Thank you.
Let me add something here. I was just in Sun River this past week for the governor's tourism conference, and I happened to notice that some of the accessories that they put in the packets were from Brand Oregon, and I found it real strange that some of the promotional material was booklets and notepads and things of that nature. The Brand Oregon logo is clearly imprinted on the front, and on the back it says "Made in Malaysia." So, I mean, so somebody's getting this business that obviously is not here, so we don't know where it's coming from. So I found it real strange.
Representative Dolan.
Yeah, there are a couple of questions, and the first one's for Representative Shields. We face this same situation in rural Oregon, and ODOT was very helpful. We had contracts that precluded our local contractors from even having a shot at doing any of the work. So what we asked them to do, and I have to give ODOT a hand, they made an effort. They unbundled the work so that our local contractors, we had contractors that didn't have as many trucks as the large contractors had company cars. That helped. The other issue is quality, and I want to be sure that there's a couple of things as a state agent that I have to be assured of. One, price is not the only driver, but if you've been in this building 10 minutes, money's an issue. And it's a big one. So if you have quality and can compete, that's one thing. But then it seems to me that this study is two clicks over. What we need is an opportunity to show your wares. I'm having trouble with the nexus, Representative, on the relationship. I see what you're trying to do, and I think it should be done, but I'm having trouble seeing how we get there with this.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bellum, I think you're actually correct. The reason it's two clicks over is because of the impediments that our recent court decisions and as well as this kind of free trade agreement that I talked to you about is allowing really just this particular path to ensure that there are some type of to lay the groundwork for a particular type of set aside that would primarily benefit Oregon businesses. The most direct route would be to give an extra point or two on contracting for an Oregon business, but evidently that's complex, and I know that's something the AFL-CIO has looked into in the past and has decided is not beneficial.
Representative Dolomite, and you may not know, but when you investigated that unbundling, and that seems to me to have very significant...
It had significant impact. Perhaps I could visit with Representative Shields. We have a slightly different situation in that we have an Oregon government agency, but you do too. And when they unbundled the contract, we found that our local guys in the smallest places could participate in the process. And I think that's what we're after here. Perhaps we could look at that together. I think that may provide you some solutions.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dallin, I'd love to do that.
And if you don't mind, if I could just add kind of to your comments, it's nice when we are able to deal with certain state agencies and do some of those things in a limited capacity, but in dealing with some of the other state agencies, when I've actually spoken to the representatives personally that are doing the purchasing, and even though they like the quality of what we did and they love our customer service because we're in constant follow-up with them to try and get the business, they have stated that it's price alone, that they are told that it is price is the primary and they just can't give us the business regardless. So it's nice that we're able to do that in some regards in maybe certain portions of the state, but I'm more concerned with the fact that on a much broader scale that it's just not being allowed and that we might need something legislatively that says the state of Oregon is going to do something successful, maybe what you're saying with unbundling, but it needs to be a process of some type that directs the agencies to do so. Otherwise, we'll still have no success on agencies that refuse to do it. That's what I'm worried about.
Representative Holby.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to follow up on Representative Dallum's comments about bundling, you know, that's been an issue that we've talked about last session as well in committees that I've served on. And speaking of ODOT, for example, you know, we really get into this scenario where, they're trying to be frugal and say, if we do this project and put it all together, we can save the state so many dollars. But the result of that is, and one of the examples was the ODOT project that's over by Eddyville of the, highway and a series of bridges. It was such a large contract that there weren't any contractors in the state of Oregon who could take that on by themselves, and so the contract went to a California company. And, one of the things that we don't really consider in contracting that you've touched on, I think Leo touched on it, was by unbundling this and allowing basically smaller contracts that we can compete on here locally, is that we don't ever consider the economic value of having our local companies have those projects and the jobs that they generate and the revenue that they generate back to the state of Oregon. Those kind of values are never considered, well, I won't say never, because I think some of our agencies are recognizing that, but we don't really recognize the value of having those contracts stay local, and I think that's something that we need to figure out, and I don't know if there's any good formula to determine without having an economist look at every contract and actually weigh out, what kind of revenue impact having a Oregon company providing the product or the service has back to the state, and taking that into consideration before we award contracts instead of just going, what's the dollar value? What's the lowest cost dollar value? And being able to consider the value to Oregon is an important piece of that. And I think our public contracting codes actually allow that to happen today. But our agencies, I mean, it's a couple of extra steps they have to go through, which costs them a little money to go through, too. So it is something I think we need to talk about.
Yes. Actually, we had quite an extensive discussion about the exact same issue within our committees before we came and presented this bill, in the fact of your insights are right on the mark. When we provide monies to multinationals and other large corporations that are outside of our state, there is that initial bang for the buck where you get the materials cheaper. But what we're missing out on the opportunity is the fact that these people hire individuals that are outside of our state. Mm-hmm. The advantages are that I employ Oregonians. Everyone I employ buys all their products, services, and everything in Oregon. So there is a value of the dollar that recirculates within our economy, so we actually get a multiplier effect when we spend dollars within Oregon. And Chip had said that there is a way for economists to determine what that multiplier is if we wanted to do something like that. It wouldn't be too difficult to determine how much more bang for the buck we get within our state.
And let me add, you know, that's why we're here. We are here to try and keep Oregon business in Oregon. There's nothing wrong with folks coming here wanting to bid and help with our economy. But at the end of the day, at the end of the project, at the end of that freeway or whatever, the bridge, these people are going to be gone. And they know the rules. They know the requirements. And they have people in these halls right now taking care of their interests. But these little small guys, from the mom and pop shops to the printers to everybody out in your area, that cannot compete because they don't have lobbyists. They don't have the attorneys. They don't have the resources. But they do have the quality. And I agree with you. It's got to be quality. It just can't be a bunch of people just coming here saying, just give me, give me, give me. But to each of you, it is a responsibility to make sure that we employ our own, that we empower our own small businesses, regardless of what color they are. And that's what this is about, because there is a disparity. And I applaud ODOT for taking the step and moving forward, because at the end of the day, I mean, you see how many people are leaving Portland and going across the river because of certain things. And so it's our job to try and bring them back and try and empower them. So maybe there's a partnership that can be worked out. Maybe there's something that can be done. But each of you guys are the legislators, and you guys know what to do. So I'm now deputized.
And if I can interject, Representative Wick did this as a kind of a courtesy to me. We realized we weren't probably going to be able to move the bill at this point, and so I want to thank you for that and be respectful of the committee's time and move on. Also, two other people just showed up. Would it be all right if they just spoke for a minute or two of their concerns?
Please, by all means, and while we're changing panels, I just wanted to comment. Please feel free.
Thank you, gentlemen,
very, very much. Representative Foley, not only is it a matter of that local business, but we have the potential of folks like Mr. McCardle and others who locate their business to actually become an anchor in the community, and they're buying from additional businesses. And I think we're perhaps overlooking the potential here to spawn a number of small businesses. We've had testimony much earlier in this committee that the growth potential of small businesses vastly outstrips anything that large corporations have. A large corporation is not going to ever hope in a matter of a couple of years to double its business. It's not at all unusual for small businesses. And they're hiring, as we heard, they are hiring Oregon employees, Oregon taxpayers, and all of this money is going back into the economy. Please, welcome.
Before they go on, I wanted to just make sure that the committee was aware that I'm not suggesting that there is disparate treatment going on at DAS, that I'm not disparaging the agency at all. This is only because they're the procurement agency that they seem like the logical place to do it. And additionally, I think I should recognize that AGC has been willing to work with us on some of these issues on Friday, and Representative Holvey's committee will be presenting a compromise on bonding for prevailing wage bills that will help minority businesses. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Sharon Maxwell Hendricks, and I'm the owner of Boenergis Group, and we are a general contractor. I started in the construction trades in 1994, going through the Portland Community College Skills Center program. I thought it was a great idea for me to be able to become or get a living wage type of job. Had four children at the time, and wanted to do something different. And since then, started my own company in 1999. And from that time, I've been able to get some ODOT projects. But during this time, I've wanted to be able to hire people from the community. A lot of the black men in the community do not have living wage jobs. And so I thought with my business that I would be able to employ those persons. And it's just been really difficult when I spent a lot of time and effort putting together bids and quotes to a lot of the larger generals and taking the time to bid on the ODOT projects, and, you know, to no avail. I feel, gotten the opportunities that should be afforded to a small business. And a lot of times I've traveled to Grants Pass, Roseburg, Medford, to a lot of these pre-bid meetings to meet the generals. They're not there. And so, you know, spending a lot of time and money. Money is time. Time is money. I would just like to see more training possibly for the project managers, the regional assistants, so that they know how to relate more to me, African-American small business owners, because a lot of times I walk into a lot of these pre-bids, and it just feels like they don't know how to relate. You know, instead of them coming up, greeting, you know, they kind of sit back and not say anything. And, you know, I do everything that I possibly can as a business owner, trying to grow my business and be, you know, a positive force in the community and provide opportunities, that when I come into the presence of people who are part of the state's government system, that they should be more, you know, friendly. And that doesn't always seem to be the case. And so I'm here today because I would like to see changes happen, so that small businesses, especially African American, that we are looked at as a viable, you know, business in the community.
Thank you very much. Good morning, sir. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. How are you today? My name is Nathaniel Hartley. The name of my business is Professional Lath and Plaster. I have been in the plastering industry since 1980. I served my apprenticeship here in 1980. I journeyed out in 1983. Since then, I've had the opportunity to work in many different parts of the United States. I worked in Las Vegas on the Bellagio, the Mandalay Bay, the Venetian, and hotel and casinos. I'm presently moving here from the Bay Area, moving back home. I've been working in San Francisco, Oakland area for the last 9 years. My desire is to come back home and create an environment so that young men that have been in gang activity, getting out of the penitentiary, can come work for me. I can teach them the trade personally to make sure they become highly skilled craftsmen, where they can earn a living wage without taking a penitentiary chance just to drive a nice car. So my desire is to have a positive impact on the community. Right now I have an opportunity before me to work on the Block 38 job with Hoffman Construction. Hoffman and through PCI have engaged me, and I will be doing some work on that job. They're willing to do things for me, for an example, pay me every 2 weeks to every week to ensure my success and mitigate my risks. One dilemma that I do have is that I need upfront money, 2 weeks to finance my payroll for 2 weeks before their funding kicks in. So it's a serious dilemma. But I'm going to overcome through perseverance. But if there were some programs in place that would help minority business enterprises, I can do the work. I'm a qualified professional. If there was funding available, that would empower people like myself to become successful in the marketplace. I want to thank you for your time, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very, very much. Yes, Vice Chair Riley.
Thank you very much, and thank you for moving back home. And I applaud what you're doing, both of you, and I want to tell you that, first of all, my wife would say that just being a woman in that environment is enough problem. Yeah. So thank you both, and I want to tell you that I'm sure we're going to try to help you all we can.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
I'd like to call up, please, Chris Kotz. Good morning, Chris. It's been a long time.
It has. Good to see you, Representative Witt.
Welcome to our committee.
Thank you.
Chair Witt and members of the committee, my name is Chris Couts, and I'm the Deputy Director for the Department of Administrative Services, and I'm here to provide you some information on House Bill 3235. 3235 requires the department to either conduct or contract for one or more studies to look at the disparity between the availability and use of disadvantaged minority or women businesses in state public contracting. In conjunction with the governor's office right now, the department has convened a work group to take a look at how we might do a better job of contracting with these types of businesses. We're looking at creating some aspirational goals for state agencies to take a look at across the board to help us achieve that. And the agency directors are participating from various agencies such as the Department of Transportation, Employment Department, and the like. In addition to the work that we're doing on the work group right now, the Department of Transportation, as you heard, has contracted for a disparity study over a 7-year period, starting back in 99, to take a look at their transportation-related projects and see what and if there was disparity and what that means. That contract alone is about $400,000 just for transportation-related contracts. So the intended outcome of both the work group and the disparity study is that we can look collaboratively at how we can do a better job with these kinds of contracts. There are some issues with the bill. Representative Shields has already discussed those with you. One would be the cost of a disparity study for the state. The second are the legal issues, as the courts have mandated what those parameters would have to be in relationship to a disparity study, and that once it's done, it has to be done right so that we could look at favoring a particular group of people in the contracting process. Overall, we want you to know that the department does agree with the intent of the bill, and we hope that through the work group and the outcome of the ODOT study that we will have better information about how we might do a better job with this kind of contracting in the state. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Yes, Representative Dahl.
A couple of things. I don't think any of our businessmen were particularly pushed over asking for a favor. What they want is an opportunity to get into the game. And so my question would be, in DAS, what would it take to analyze a contract and break it down to its significant parts to ensure that Oregon bidders were not excluded? I think what we're looking at here is not an affirmative action, but an action that would prevent exclusion. And I know ODOT has some experience in that, but what would it take in DAS to break a contract up? Are we talking huge man hours, or is this a fairly simple task?
Chair Witt and Representative Dahlem, I'm probably not the best person to answer that because that's not the job I do every day. And hold on for just a second. Can you help me with that, David, or would we have to bring somebody else?
Okay. Chair Witt, members of the committee, my name is David Hartwig. I'm administrator of the State Services Division, of which the State Procurement Office is one program in our division. I might be of a little bit more help than Chris is in that I don't do this on a day-to-day basis as well. I think what you're asking, Representative Dahlem, is possible. I think that we could provide some leadership and guidance in having those discussions with agencies. The agencies carry the responsibility for their contracting and how they go about that and the decisions that they make when they do that. But I think, again, we could provide some leadership and putting some framework of what the decision-making process might entail that would lead towards your question of how you look at a contract and break it down into components and put some evaluation criteria as to what that weight would be in making these determinations. That's not something that we do in much detail at the moment.
Please.
Age-old question. And I'm not at all reluctant to be helpful here. Would legislation be helpful for your agency to look into this issue?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dahlem, I think what I would suggest at this point is that, given the conversation that we've heard today, the work group is meeting tomorrow that's in place. And I think that can be part of our discussion in relationship to how we can do a better job of meeting the goals, is to talk about how can we do a better job of laying out contracts so that smaller businesses, in some cases unbundling where it's appropriate, we can maybe create that framework that David was talking about via that rather than trying to legislate it and take that step. You know, we're still in right now trying to do a better job of even understanding where we're at with contracting with minority women and emerging small business. We've just really started a good data collection process for that, and I think that we need to take a look at some of that information as well so that we have a feel of where we're at and where we're trying to get to, and then talk about those things that we could do to better increase the use of those businesses.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Dahlem, don't stop there.
I do have some questions. I'm not so sure that, listening to the trials or the issues that Representative Shields faced, and I know that we want to protect our Oregon business. And I don't know whether it's small business, minority business, or women's business. I think what we're interested in, or what I'm interested in, is seeing to it that the opportunity is there. And if the playing field is, I don't even want to say level, just made available, I have great faith in our businessmen. And I know that if they just have a shot, they will prevail. So I'm very interested in seeing what we can do, and like I said, I'm not at all reluctant to get into your business and muck around, and that isn't the first time I've ever said that, but I would really like to see something done, and rather rapidly. In small business, it's a day-to-day. I know in the business that my family was involved in, one contract meant the difference between opening the doors or closing the doors. So there is a sense of urgency on my part. We're enjoying some good times now, and I would like to say let the good times roll. So if we can give our people an opportunity, let's make haste and do it.
Thank you.
And I would like to ask that if you would please request that the committee consider this notion of unbundling to be able to facilitate access to state procurement by small business, and that after the committee considers and reviews that option, if you would please report back to us either by letter or sure, pay us a visit or something and let us know how that's going. I think this is a very, very important potential here for economic development in our state.
Would be happy to do that, Representative Witt. Right now, the work group is hoping to complete at least its initial work by mid-May, so we'd be happy to get back with committee members and let you know what the status of the work group is at that point in time.
Thank you very much. Anything else? Without trying to put anyone on the spot here, I'm taking a look at your estimated costs for the disparity study, and it's just shy of $400,000.
That's currently the amount that ODOT is paying for the study that they've contracted for just transportation-related contracts. We haven't put together a fiscal impact for this bill at this point in time.
Okay. All right. Fine. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Is there
procedurally,
yes,
Mr. Chair, would it be appropriate for us to set the stage and have something ready that if we needed a vehicle, that we might, even in the waning hours of our committee time, have something ready to go.
Representative Dolan, would you be willing to look at a vehicle?
I'd be glad to do that.
Thank you very, very much. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
And is there anyone else who would like to testify today on House Bill 3235? Not seeing anyone, I'm going to close the public hearing. Representative Shields, were you also here on, let's see here, House Bill 2726? You are. Okay. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2726. Ellen, could you remind us what this bill does?
Yes, thank you, Chair Witt, members of the committee. You all should have the dash one amendments to 2726, and they essentially replace the entire bill. What the amendments do is declare as the policy of the state of Oregon that state-funded research that benefits private enterprise must encourage economic development and job creation in Oregon.
Thank you very much. Representative, do you want to comment on that amendment?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just real briefly, the University of Oregon proposed a modification of the bill, and I decided to accept their friendly amendment, and I suggest you move forward. As all of the agencies that were originally had concerns have been contacted, and my understanding is that there is no opposition, but you might want to ask.
Okay. Thank you very much. Do we, in fact, have anyone in the audience today who's in any way opposed to this amendment? I'm not seeing anyone. Committee members, what's your pleasure? Representative Holden.
Mr. Chair, I move we adopt the dash one amendments to House Bill 2726.
Representative Holby moves the adoption of the dash one amendments to House Bill 2726. Discussion on the amendment, on the motion, excuse me. Seeing none, is there any objection to that adoption? Not seeing any. It is adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Holby.
I move House Bill 2726 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Holby moves House Bill 2726 as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. On the motion, any discussion? On the question, Barry, please call the roll.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Dell?
Aye.
Representative Drott?
Aye.
Representative Bowlby?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lynn?
Excused.
Vice Chair Riley?
Aye.
Aye. Having received the majority vote, House Bill 2726, as amended, is moved to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Thank you very much. I'll close the hearing.
How about the consent calendar?
Is there any reason why this should not be considered for the consent calendar? Would you please? I'm not seeing any reason why it shouldn't be on the consent calendar. Any objections? All right. Thank you. And we'll close the work session on that bill. All right. Next up this morning, we have a public hearing on House Bill 3395. Ellen, could you please give us a brief summary of that bill?
Yes, thank you, Chair Witt, members of the committee. House Bill 3395 prohibits the denial of unemployment insurance benefits to an otherwise eligible individual who has qualified for benefits on the basis of part-time work or who seeks suitable and comparable part-time work. There are amendments that are pending to this bill, and we will have a subsequent hearing on April 25th.
Thank you very much. And my understanding is that as you say, we will be having amendments. We will be having another hearing. And we have Tom Byerly signed up to testify. If you would like to testify today or at a later hearing, it's your choice.
I prefer to wait for the amendments. I've been working with Michael Dale on those amendments, and that would be better.
I suspected. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify today on House Bill 3395, short of absent the amendments? I'm not seeing anyone. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3395. And I am going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2618. Alan, could you remind us what that bill is about?
Chair Whip, members of the committee, this is a bill that's dealing with employers and training agent requirements. There are also amendments that are pending on this bill, and so it has been moved to April 20th.
Is there anyone else in the audience today, or is there anyone in the audience today who would like to testify on House Bill 2618? I'm not seeing anyone, and that's scheduled for what day again?
April 20th.
Okay. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2618 and open a work session on House Bill. Before I do, stand at ease for a moment, please, committee members. Back on the record, and we are in work session on House Bill 3264. Ellen, would you please summarize the bill for us?
Thank you, Chair Whip, members of the committee. House Bill 3264 directs the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department to file an annual unified economic development report, which details the development subsidies that are provided to various employers by the state. It requires public disclosure of these development subsidies, and it limits development subsidies based on the cost and quality of jobs created. It provides for a recapture or clawback of development subsidies from those businesses who are in default on their obligations, and it creates a cause of action for aggrieved taxpayers. Just procedurally, the history of this bill is that on March 28th, the Revenue Committee and this bill has a subsequent referral to revenue. The Revenue Committee borrowed the bill in order to have a witness from Minnesota come and testify about the similar legislation that has been passed in Minnesota. And so at the request of the bill sponsor, the decision for you all to make is whether or not you would want to simply have revenue refer this bill on to revenue for them to conduct further hearings on the bill.
Thank you, Ellen. Committee members, I believe that this is an important report to have done. In fact, this committee heard testimony during our informational phase that such a report could actually be beneficial in terms of being able to track the economic development that that our state undertakes. With that said, as the bill is presently written, I have considerable problems with it, and I think that it needs some work. Yes, Representative Barnard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill is the subject of a work group that consists of me, Vicki Walker, Senator Walker, the governor's office, the Department of I guess it's called Economic Development, and a number of other people, and we'd appreciate having it in the Revenue Committee to work. I agree with you that the bill needs a lot of work. They're working on proposed, the work group is working on proposed amendments to the bill to make it actually accomplish the task of providing a report of the kind of a consolidated report of the state's activities involving economic development and the effects on individual businesses, with some clawback provisions and things of that sort built in. I don't know whether we're going to be able to get a bill that actually works or not, but there's no question at all that this bill isn't going to move as it's currently written.
Thank you, Representative Barnhart. And the reality is, we don't. I don't believe that we have the time left in this committee to be able to do the kinds of amendments that are going to be necessary. Frankly, I'm very concerned that this bill has a lot of unfunded mandates for local taxing districts, and I, for one, cannot support that. However, I do want to see the unified report at the state level. Given that, Representative Barnhart, is this a bill that if we sent to revenue?
My suggestion, and I'm not going to make the motion, but my suggestion would be that it be moved to revenue without recommendation, because the committee's not ready to recommend it, and that keeps it open, and we'll see if this work group can produce an amendment that we can agree on.
Okay, Representative Dolan.
Mr. Chair, given the given what I'm led to believe is going to be the follow-on activity for this session, this is the essence of this committee. And I don't have any problem with a work group working it over, but I think that this committee should have some representation. The simple fact that we have a compelling interest in knowing whether economic development programs that we're reviewing and funding are working. We need this information probably more than any other committee in the building. So I'm not real fussy to go on to revenue. I think it's the essence of our business. But at the very least, and I agree with you, we have asked local communities to count the number of people that are put to work. Then we count them again at the state. And by the time we get done with a $200 economic development project, we put 81 people to work. And I'm questioning those numbers on occasion. Perhaps I shouldn't be so flip with the numbers, but I think that's what we want to know here. Are we getting the bang for the buck? Is this the direction that our policy committee should take? So at the very least, I would like some representation from this committee in that work group.
Thank you, Representative Dolan. Actually, I sit on Chairman Barnhart's Revenue Committee, so...
And I think that's a very, if I may, Mr. Chair, I think that's a very reasonable request, and I think it's a great idea for some hardy volunteer to come along and join the work.
Well, if it has to be hardy, I can't do it.
There's always Geritol, Representative Nolan. Committee, what's your pleasure?
I have to tell you, I would prefer to stay here until we got the amendments. I have faith in this committee. Mm-hmm. And I'm not. This is nothing derogatory about the Revenue Committee, but I know the makeup of this committee and where it might go, and I have a lot more faith that we could come up with adequate amendments here with maybe just a brief pass through the Revenue Committee. So I'd like to see the amendments stay here.
Representative Barnhart, your thoughts about that?
Well, the only response I have to that is that this committee is closed for House bills as of the 30th of April. The Revenue Committee is not covered by the same rule. That's not to say the Revenue Committee doesn't have a lot of work to do, because it does. But I don't know, even if this were scheduled for work session on the 30th, that there would be amendments ready by that time. It is a complex subject, and I can tell you we had a work group meeting yesterday and went through a lot of work and realized that we had to have another work group committee before we could even, propose an amendment to legislative council. And the time being what it is, I think we're probably past the time when this bill can actually be worked in this committee.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I move House Bill 3264 be referred to the House Revenue Committee with no recommendation.
Representative Holby moves House Bill 3264 to the Revenue Committee without recommendation. On that motion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Vice Chair Lynn.
Since it's a time constraint, if we have enough time, I'm willing to keep it here. But since it's a time constraint, I think it's a good idea we send to the Revenue Committee.
Thank you, Vice Chair Lynn. And committee members, I want to make it abundantly clear that I am opposed to the unfunded mandates here, and I want you to know that I will represent that position should there be any further discussion around this bill. So, in any committee. Okay. Yes, Representative Holby.
Just further discussion. I think I don't sit on the Revenue Committee, but perhaps an amendment that if this bill doesn't get passed through this session, or if some parts of it do go to an interim work group, that an amendment to the bill include this subject and this bill coming back before this committee during the interim, I think would be something that this committee would very much appreciate and also maybe have some valuable input on.
And Representative Holby, if there's interim work to be done, I'm going to be pushing very hard for the interim work to be done by this committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
May I simply add that I think that's a distinct possibility because of the complexity of the topic. And I would agree with the view that this committee should be working on that, given the time.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Not hearing any. Barry, would you call the roll?
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Representative Dell?
Aye.
Representative Drodd?
No.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lim?
Aye.
Vice Chair Riley?
Aye.
Chair Witt?
Aye. The -1 amendment to House Bill 3264 is adopted.
I'm sorry.
Point of order, Mr. Chair.
Point of order. I rule myself out of order here. to clarify the record, that motion was to move House Bill 3264 to the Revenue Committee without recommendation. Having received the majority vote, in fact, that action has been adopted by this committee. Further business to come before this committee. I'm not seeing. Yes, Representative Hovey.
Mr. Chair, I know that House Bill 2618 was on our agenda today, and I would hope that we could carry that over for work session on Friday. I'm fairly confident those amendments would be.
How confident are you?
Fairly confident those amendments will be ready by then.
Okay, we're going to be hearing House Bills 33, is that 15?
95.
And old eyes here. And House Bill 2618 on Friday. Ellen, what other bills are we hearing?
Thank you, Chair Witt. Members of the committee, on April 20th at 8 a.m., we'll be hearing the two bills that the chair just carried to Friday. You'll also have your first public hearing on House Bill 3507, which creates tax credits for investments in personnel and equipment that lead to job creation. House Bill 2779, which establishes a corporate income and excise tax credit for certain payroll costs of business firms that construct facilities and engage in business operations in which personnel and human resources signify primary assets of operation. And those two bills are companion bills. You'll be hearing House Bill 2412, which requires the State Apprenticeship and Training Council to adopt ratios, and that is a bill where the amendment will replace the entirety of that bill. You'll be hearing House Bill 2261, which modifies the membership of the State Apprenticeship and Training Council. And you'll be having a work session on House Bills 2732 and 2842 relating to disabled individuals.
And did that answer your questions? Was it Representative Polvy about the bills and when we're going to be hearing them?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is this Friday?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The committee should be aware that the traveling group on county federal funds will be gone starting Thursday afternoon and be back Saturday.
And actually, I'm on the group, but I'm going to be here.
So a number of us will not be here on Friday.
And how many is that?
Well,
Vice Chair Riley?
I will be here.
Representative Bernhardt? Okay, so we're going to be missing two.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any other business to come before us? Ellen? I'm not seeing or hearing of any other business. We are adjourned until Friday. Thank you, everyone, very much. Appreciate that.